Hello?
Well, hi and welcome. Give me a progress note after three of the seminars where you are in the thinking and writing about your book, its application time and output channel time. Who's got a progress note? I know you guys are there lurking. Give me a progress note. I'm interested in what you're up to.
Hi, Dave. This is Pat.
Thank you. I was getting lonely. Go ahead.
I'm just very happy to report that I was struggling a little bit, and then all of a sudden, writing in the junks is what did it. The writing is just flowing. I think I was trying too hard at first. But going over the notes and what you said, and I just thought, okay, let me just start writing in the chunks. And when I did, I've been writing nonstop for a week. Wonderful.
Terrific. Have you found the workbook, the exercises and work tools helpful as prompts to kind of get initiated or organized or in any
yes.
way boosted?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, good.
Because when I was stuck, I was looking it over, and did a few things, and then I thought, okay, let me try the chunks, and then it just kept flowing. It's kind of like a dam opened.
Yeah. Once you get started, well, that's great. And if any of you at any time have any update or revision. For the workbook, I continually revise the products that I do and hope to make them better all along. So I welcome any input or suggestions that any of you have or things that have worked for you that that we didn't talk about. So thanks, Pat, very much.
Sure.
I appreciate
Thank
that. Who else? Other progress notes.
Hi, this is Rick.
Welcome. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I'm very much similar to what that pet has said. I, as well, just writing it in chunks has just really helped me tremendously, and just kind of opened up the floodgates, too. And I guess, you know, one of my questions is, when should I, like, go back and start, I guess, putting those chunks together? I mean, when do you know, like, kind of when to do that? That's kind of when you feel the story's done?
Well, you know, a chunk is in and of itself a chunk.
Right.
What you may do is to look. Let's do a short term possibility for that, and a long term possibility.
Right.
The short term possibility is your chunk may be a block, and when you work that and refine it and get it to 200 or 300 words, and build a communication with people who will be following you to see what you have to say, and the what you
right.
have to say will have some order and some direction because it's informed by what you do in terms of what you're developing, then you're also developing a following. And I'll reiterate this. You've heard part of this before. When McGraw-Hill released Secret Language of Money, they nudged me to do a blog. I had not been interested in doing a blog, but they nudged me to do a blog starting 3 or 4 months before the book was released. And what I found was it was tremendously interesting, and it really furthered what I wanted to learn more about, psychology. Can I get a management of a background noise there? There's clunking that we're all hearing. So that whenever I did blogs in the whole arena of money, psychology, neuroeconomics, what I found after a period of time, and this was after 2 or 3 years, the material for the sequel to The Secret Language of Money was almost half written. About 40% came from the blogs and the extension, the application, the feedback. So it's a very lively way to develop some ideas for a book. So those chunks then can be stacked in different stacks that are called chapters, because when you have an organizing and an orienting view of what you're doing, then the things that you see, the things that you think about, the things that you develop will have some organizing principles and sort of be in the same direction. Then you can begin to, you know, look at how you want to organize that and shape it. But I'd say for right now, just do the chunks. You know,
okay.
Remember, don't sit down and try to create and edit at the same time.
Got that.
Parts
sure.
of the brain, two different states of mind.
Okay.
You know, I would say for a period of time until you have a substantial amount of material, I would say just stay in that creative mode.
Got it.
You know, I've touched on this before. I spend September of each year in an old, restored, 200-plus-year-old home in the very quiet part of the French Quarter in the courtyard writing. It's a creative immersion. So I started my last new book there, and I did no editing whatsoever, and haven't until very recently begun to do any editing of that material. I just continued that. So for a while, acquiring as much, I mean, you know, I went through 40 or 50 books and did a whole creative immersion in that month, and have done something on a smaller scale since. So, you know, keep in your creative mode as long as it's productive. Then you can look at what you want to do with it. You know, for example,
perfect.
I'm going to be putting together a four-part either teleseminar or webinar series to apply just part of that material on peak performance, you know, stress mastery and peak performance, in order to get some feedback, in order to interact with people and develop something where I'm getting feedback and taking in questions and interactions that will further shape the material to look at, you know, the mind and brain science of peak performance. So, I mean, that's how I think about it. Was that helpful
great.
To you? In
100%. 100%. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Yeah, great question.
Yeah, thanks.
Who else?
David, excuse me, it's Mike. Just a kind of how are you? Just kind of a spin-off of what you were just talking about and what I'm encountering with the bits and pieces of what I'm putting together here is that it's almost telling me that it's more of a, at this point, leading me more towards a blog than a book, you know, partly because you know, there's so many disparate thoughts in this that, you know, weaving them together, you know, might take a little bit more massaging, I guess, or to really develop a strong storyline. But a blog, you can kind of seemingly anyway bounce around a little bit more. There's a little bit more liberty with a blog.
What's the brand and the focus of your blog?
These are just ideas right now as much as anything else. It's just sort of in the brainstorming mode. But a lot of it, you know, how to get more out of less, how to, you know, sense of balance, and to increase productivity, to kind of diminish some of the background noise, diminish some of the emotional noise, and the audience, or you know, that I'm really targeting with a lot of this stuff, are entrepreneurial minds, small business minds, people that are, you know, in many cases overwhelmed with so many things coming at them as a small business owner. You know, how do you manage that? You know, how do you kind of get you know, out of the way of that stuff? And it's almost like a, you know, kind of a sensory overload, ADD kind of a thing that I've seen many small business owners encounter, get very frustrated with, and find that not only are they not getting as much done, they're certainly not enjoying what it is that they're doing. And the message is, how do we get more of that?
May I offer you your next challenge?
Sure.
Put all of that into one sentence of 10 words or less.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's your next challenge.
Yeah.
Because
no, I'm with you.
Help shape and focus what your intent is, because then you can look at the avatars. Who are the people you want to direct this to? Where are the watering holes? The kind of questions you'll have as you begin to, however you write, you know, I dictate. So whenever I'm dictating, I'm envisioning my audience, and I want to know specifically who they are, what their interests, what specifically their challenges, because that's the first thing I want to know, because that's and I want to engage with them in a dialogue, in a dialectic of questions they may not have even asked, but it has to do with the challenge of things that they may need to know more about in a challenge that they may have. So
interesting.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish that thought.
No,
I interrupted
you. I'm done.
You know,
it's
interesting.
I was done about 3 sentences ago. Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting you put it that way, because that's really what I'm encountering with this. Is that, you know, how do you kind of distill this down into something that's more coherent, something that's more succinct? And where you have all of these chunks, as everybody's kind of talking about, you know, they kind of are, you know, it's sort of in this gaseous form that's out there. How do you kind of congeal that into a solid rock? So your point is kind of exactly where I'm at. You know, that's not that I'm struggling with it, but that's really, you know, it's not well formed enough yet to be that succinct. And that's where, like you say, I agree, that's where it's got to go.
Well, when you answer these questions specifically for a blog series, you're going to find that whenever you write a blog that's 300 words or less, it's going to force you to be more clear, brief, and succinct about a specific segment, a specific topic or question that you treat in a blog, and create the story of that blog. So the blog itself is a story. It's the challenge, the development, and the resolution in 300 words or less. By the time you do that enough, I mean, that's in a sense a chunk. That's not the creative chunk that we talked about, but that's a more organized chunk. So looking at having all of you and your writing and your blog go in the same direction, that's going to be productive, and you're going to see the accumulation of a body of work that you do in blog form, and ideally get responses from people and build your platform. You know, as I've said before, it took me 4 months of doing a blog to get as many subscribers as it took me 4.5 years to do a newsletter, because blogs go viral. And you can figure out how to do that with search engine optimization and that sort of thing. So that's one way of doing it. And, you can also look at podcasts and various things. I mean, that's a whole other subject, but that's a beginning.
Well, thanks.
Mike, anybody else, any other feedback or progress notes before we move into the material? Okay, well, that's sounding good. So save up any questions. I'll preserve some time at the end for a brief discussion then. So hang on, and we'll come back. And if there are any questions that we don't get to, shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to respond. So hold on. Okay, we're going to talk about the business of writing. Someone once asked Ira Gershwin, the great American songwriter, which comes first, the words or the music? He quickly answered, the contract. So here's a brief recap as we discuss selling your story. Writing is like selling. It has to solve a problem or meet a need. Do your groundwork. Foster connections and affiliations. Do research. Develop marketing strategies. Especially build your platform. Gather information. Critique groups, classes, conferences, networks. For nonfiction books, publishers buy, if you go this route, and we're going to look at all the different routes of publishing, publishers will buy a book proposal and the first chapter. You don't have to write the whole thing. So there are three secrets of writing success. Choose what you want, believe it will be yours, and take positive action toward that goal every day. Now, as a coach, consultant, or business person, you already know how to do the thing that writers find most difficult, to think about the sale. The essence of publishing, it's a business with a bottom line, with risk, with a marketplace, with a business goal. You create and market a product, your knowledge. A writer may mistakenly put all energy into crafting a message rather than also thinking like a business person. Both are necessary. So let's revisit three questions. One, how do you write a book? Same way you began seeing yellow Jeeps after visualizing one. Once you begin to think about writing a book, you start to see things in all different ways. You hear vignettes, ideas crystallize. You develop awareness of what you say and how you say it. It makes you a better listener. It makes you a better speaker. It makes you a better reader. Remember, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences or a page. Two, why do you want to write? To sell the book? To develop a second career? To further your existing career? To learn something? For the joy of writing? To make a difference? Three, for whom do you write? Remember that your first authentic answer is for yourself. Yet you must respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. You attune to existing needs as well as remain true to your own story. Your gift to readers is who you are. So let's look at some options of getting your book published. And I want to review a fairly comprehensive list of maybe eight or nine possibilities of publishing. One is self-publish. And I mean this truly in the sense of self-publish. You form your own publishing company. Now, I've done each of these with one exception, and I'll mention it at the time. I did this for a wellness book that I did. And I'll illustrate the steps from that experience. Because I had the kind of market that I didn't want somebody telling me what to do, and I just knew what I wanted to do. So when you do your own publishing and find a printer, each book can cost $2 to $3 to print. If you publish a book that companies or large groups can use, you can sell multiples of several thousand. Since you control the printing, if you sell to a corporation, for example, that wants 10,000 books for its people, you can easily include a letter from the CEO as the first page of the book. So here are the considerations and steps to constructing your book if you self-publish. Now, the price figures, they are just kind of ballpark estimates, and they're based on a 250-word typewritten double-spaced pages. One, first editing. After completing the manuscript, you'll need to get it edited by a professional editor. And that's around $300 to $400. Email me when you get to this step, if you choose this option, and if you want a personal introduction to the head of an editing consortium that I use. This guy has editors all over the country that can match you to a specific to who does work in this specific area. They even have somebody if you want to get introductions to agents. They have all kind of services. So he'll match your work to an editor that's knowledgeable in that area for the most reasonable fee around. Next is formatting. You'll need to get it formatted. In other words, it needs to look like a book rather than a typewriter page. And this is somewhere around $500 plus or minus. And this is a graphics person who does this. Again, I have a person I use if you're interested in that. If you index, this will be around $300 to $400 to have an index in the back of the terms. Graphic design, simultaneous with these three steps, you can get a graphics firm to do the book cover, spine, and back. That's somewhere around $300 to $400. I have used for a couple of my training manuals, iLance.com, and they have a whole stable of people you can get to do bids and tell them what you want, and they'll send you back bids and the people who do it. I have a couple of sources there of firms like this. Email me, and I'll be happy to send you the link. You also, and you can see how this is a little complicated, so you have to be dedicated to it. You need an ISBN number and barcode, and these are about $100. And then once you have all that, you send it to a printer, and then warehousing and distribution, if the printer will sell single copies. I used a printer connected to a distribution house who also does single sales online because I didn't want to stack these things up in my garage and have to wrap one up or put it in a brown envelope anytime somebody ordered. I am not doing this anymore, by the way, but I did it once and I saw what was involved. Now, let's move on to other possibilities. I'm not recommending this necessarily unless you know that you have resources or connections to sell multiple copies. If you're going to sell thousands of copies at a time, this is absolutely the way to go because you control everything and you can get a rock-bottom price for your product. Secondly, subsidy publishing. With a subsidy publisher, you pay part of the publishing cost. The benefit is that you have a publishing house that does all of the above work that I just described, except editing, and you only do the writing and have it edited. Now, unless you negotiate hard, you won't have any influence on any of the choices, including the cover. Now, most of the publishing places have moved away from subsidy publishing to a print-on-demand. This is the third. Packages at print-on-demand, and these include places like Ex Libris or iUniverse or Author House. They typically cost somewhere around $500 to $1,000, depending on the package, for a turnkey operation and placing it like in, you know, in distribution centers, including Amazon. And all you need to do is submit the edited manuscript. They do all the subsequent steps of publishing, along with placing your book with a distributor and listing it. Now, you will get copies at an author's discount. Usually that's like 40% off the cover price. They set the cover price, and it's pretty steep usually, like $25 for a paperback. So you purchase then for 15, and if you sell it for 25, you make 10. So this is not a way you make money. The benefit is that it gets your book out there. You have a book within a very few months. You also get to actively participate in the cover choice. The book that I did like this was the book on parenting that I've mentioned. And I chose the cover. I used my photograph for the cover of a sculpture of a dad and his two kids. And it was something I wanted to do because I wanted it done. I wanted to have total determination over it. I didn't want an agent or a publishing house to start telling me what I needed. I wanted it published with no comma changed, because this was really for me, for my therapy, and someday for my kids to read. And that was the only objective that I had, so I wanted it done like I wanted it done. I wanted my cover on the picture. I mean, my picture on the cover, and it worked out that way. Now, fortunately, it got reviewed in some places and became an Amazon number one regional bestseller for a while. But that was just lucky. Now, another, a fulfillment house. Now, this is something that I use for all of my training material. If any of you have trained at Coach Training Alliance, it's what they use for the accelerator. A fulfillment house will take your order for a book or a training manual, print it, prepare for shipping, mail it to the purchaser. They will have a stock printed of however many you designate. I have them always have 10 on hand so that it can be shipped in a timely way. So they'll work with an edited manuscript and cover art from a disc. So for this option, you've completed the manuscript, you've edited it, you've formatted it for the particular style you want, you have the front and back cover and spine done by a graphics firm. And I use the same fulfillment house for all of my MentorPath training publications and workbook. In other words, someone signs up for the New Life Story Wellness Coaches Training or New Money Story Mentor Training or any of the manuals with CDs, and it immediately triggers an order at my fulfillment house, and they ship it to the person, and I just get a notice that someone signed up. So these are I particularly, for these kinds of purposes, use three-ring binders with an index tab for each chapter, because I can add to or expand each of the modules, what I call the chapters, so that I don't have to redo the entire document. I can update it or add new research or that sort of thing. So that's one option, to use a fulfillment house. And I'll be happy to give you the name of mine. And you can see a number of my products under the library tab at my website. Five, a traditional publishing house by way of an agent. For nonfiction books, you submit a book proposal and the first chapter to an agent. And a lot of care and a lot of work goes into that book proposal. Look at those two references that I gave you of the Larson and the Herman books on how to write a book proposal. This will help you organize your book. And royalties usually range from 10 to 15% in increasing increments according to the number sold. An initial advance on royalty is customary, somewhere around 5 or 10 grand for beginning authors. You do an advance on royalty for a couple of reasons. One, it's money for you. There are not going to be any questions about that. And it's also the publisher's commitment to your book. Now, it will take a while to get published. I just had a book of literary essays that I did called Engaging the Ineffable, accepted by a house who does literary essays, and it looks like spring of next year will be the release date. And that's a fast track, sort of. So it takes a while. Six, and this is the one I haven't done, partnering with a foundation or a company. For this option, a foundation or a company may support the writing. They may pay you or fund it, and the promotion of your book to further their cause. This is done. I've seen this done very engaging in a very engaging way for nonprofits, some for-profit corporations. The author usually has a special tie with the organization and donates a significant portion of the proceeds to the group. Seven, an ebook. An ebook can be set up for an automatic purchase from your website. My website has ebooks set up with automatic links for their downloads when somebody pays. One service that I used recently for an ebook that was a compilation of roadmap case studies of the coaches who had trained and remained licensed by me. There was a compilation of 32, it was a big ebook, 32 case studies with annotation of each of the sections that I did so that this would help them promote their practices. And I gave them the link for them to download so that they could send that link and have access to that book for any client or potential client so that they could use it for marketing purposes. So an ebook like that can cost anywhere from $200 to $500 depending on how much. These ebooks are like on Amazon. BookBaby is an Amazon affiliate, and I looked at a number of possibilities, decided on BookBaby, and they did the whole thing soup to nuts, and they took a regular manuscript, Word document, and made it into a very presentable book. And the book you can see on Amazon is called Successful Life Story Transformations, and it's like $5.99. You can do an ebook for a couple of bucks, and this is a good way to get somebody in your pipeline. For somebody to purchase something, they're more likely to purchase something else. To do an ebook for a purchase of a dollar or two is a good beginning, or you may want to do a free download if they sign on for a service that you do. For any book you publish, consider having an ebook option that you control. It can work with everything except traditional publishing with big house, because they will keep that option. And the cost per sale is pretty good per ebook. It's zero. It's a great option for international purchasers, especially because shipping costs are so high outside the U.S. and Canada. And you'll see a book that's only an ebook called Outsmart Your Brain, an Instruction Manual. And that's on Amazon. That's an ebook idea. And I think that's like, I don't remember exactly how much it is. Now, so those are the publishing options. I hope that makes sense, because that really covers the waterfront. So for copyright considerations, for any form or venue of publishing, from article to book, always keep the copyright on any work you produce. Never sign it over to anyone else under any circumstances. It's your intellectual property. for this last book, Engaging the Ineffable with Paragon House, it's the only part of the contract I changed because I said it's already copyrighted under my name. That was non-negotiable, and that was no problem. The law grants you automatic copyright protection when you create your work. It doesn't even have to be completed to be protected. You own the copyright on your work as you create it. Now, registration isn't required. This is a U.S. government registration, but there are advantages to doing it. The two most prominent advantages, registration establishes a public record of the copyright claim. And before an infringement suit can be filed in court, registration is necessary for works of U.S. origin. So as soon as I got the contract from Paragon House, I had my intellectual property attorney immediately fire off a copyright submission because they can do it faster than I could. So I think it was like $100. So I could include to my in my letter to say, well, I have already established a copyright, which was true. So that made it a non-discussion. So let's look at why self-publish. Self-publishing can have at least five benefits. One is control. With a traditional publishing house, you sign an exclusive agreement that prevents you from having input about most of the decisions that affect your book, including the cover, the release date, the ebook rights. If your book doesn't sell quickly and the publisher lets it get out of print, there's often a waiting period before you're allowed to seek another publisher and a time period before you publish another book. Two, money. A contract with a book publisher does not necessarily give you a guarantee that your book is going to get onto bookstore shelves or how long it'll stay there. If you're a new author, your publisher will allocate little to no marketing dollars to promote your book. So you're going to have to sell it anyhow. If it does well, it'll be largely by your own hand, and your award will be a tiny fraction of the book's total profits. Three, waiting and rejection. Realistically, first-time authors have difficulty breaking into blue-chip publishing house markets. Many nonfiction book projects are time-sensitive. You may not want to wait 18 to 24 months to get your book published. Autonomy. Self-published authors usually have confidence and have developed a following by giving talks, seminars, webinars, podcasts. As an expert in your area, you may not need a publisher's approval or sign-off. You may also happen to like being in the driver's seat of your book project. Five, the power of belief. You most probably believe deeply that others will benefit from reading what you have to say, or you wouldn't be listening right now, or wanting to get your message into a more permanent form. And I'll bet it's an unshakable conviction. I also bet that a deep belief motivates what you do as well as what you write, a strong sense of purpose. That's why you need to write a book and sell a book. You may want to consider self-publishing if some of these factors really fit. And there's no longer a stigma attached to self-publishing, especially in the last decade. Before that, it was sort of a death knell for serious authors to self-publish your first book, and the producers called it a vanity press. Now it's accepted, sometimes necessary. I've even heard major agents recommend it to certain authors to test the market. So, and that's, you know, my first venture into non-traditional publishing was making memories. When I did that, as I said, I did it as therapy. I wanted my kids to read it. I didn't want anybody to touch any part of it. That's why I decided to do it. Now, and remember, no one cares more about your book than you do. So let's look at titles that tell and sell. This is about the business of writing. Titles that tell and sell. 3 to 5 words that capture the essence of the book's promise. That's your title. Does the title sell? It's an answer, not a question, a solution, not a problem. Is the title positive and empowering? Is the title a memorable image, metaphor, or symbol that captures the essence of the book? In other words, is it a hook? is the title a prescription for the cure that the book will provide, perhaps? Does the title make a promise the book will fulfill? Does the title offer your unique position, your good news? Does the title speak to one of the five great marketing motivators? Fear, exclusivity, guilt, greed, or the need for approval? Now, greed's got a bad reputation, but its definition is a rapacious desire for more. That is, a passion, such as to tell and sell your story. Does the title appeal to the needs and values of potential readers? Does the subtitle clearly spell out the benefits the reader will get by reading your book? So, here's an exercise. Brainstorm titles. Brainstorm a title for your book. Don't censor or try to focus only in one direction, but free associate. Brainstorm, stream of consciousness. Allow a free flow of ideas and write it down. Put down anything and everything that comes to you. Come up with 30 potential titles that you write down. Now, another brainstorming session, brainstorm a subtitle. Do the same with your subtitle, same free flow, a separate time, brainstorm 30 possible subtitles. Then later, come back to your brainstorm titles and subtitles, select your favorites. Put those away 24 hours, then come back a third time and see how they fit together. See what rings true and seems engaging. Select one or two of each. And then one final exercise, bullet points. Write 5 to 6 bullet points of benefits readers will get by reading your work. Make them clear, brief, and simple. So, you will see in the outline, and I'm not going to go over here, but in the outline, and it's roughly in the order of occurrence, a publishing roadmap for nonfiction. There are 15 points, and again, they're roughly in the order of occurrence, from coming up with your idea all the way to reading your second draft out loud as another editing step. So I'll refer you to the outline for those. Let's look at building platform. If you're working on a book project, what do you do first? Write your book, set up a website or a blog, start a podcast? Does it matter? Well, it does matter. And what you decide depends on your decision. So for a major book deal, to publisher the big publisher, you would do things differently from what you do, say, to fill your coaching practice or establish yourself as a professional speaker. Your platform, the people who follow you and know your work and are willing to purchase something that you put out, your platform is your presence in the marketplace. How many people know you, as well as why they know you. Your brand is tied to your audience. For major publicity and big book deals, existing platform is critical. The first question an agent will ask you is, what's your platform? In other words, how many people are following you and will be interested in buying your book? Because that's the first question a publisher, any publisher, will ask them. So look at all the considerations to build your platform the same way you do in terms of marketing of your practice and your business. Look at everything from the ways you can develop your email list, your blog, affiliate partnerships, writing articles, doing podcasts, all kinds of publications, media exposure, and there's a more complete bullet list in your outline. Be sure with everything you do, from website to speaking engagements, that you have a way to capture email addresses. Then establish an ongoing communication with people who will become your audience. In other words, every time, whenever you set up a blog, set up where someone can sign up and have the blog delivered to their email. So, think about the things that will enhance your coaching practice, the things that will enhance your professional speaking, All of those are things that also are going to, in a parallel way, enhance your platform for a book. So what you want to do is develop your authentic brand and niche, become known in what you do. Think about what are your key words. For my quarterly mentor group today, some of you heard a guy who has done more podcasts than anyone can possibly imagine. He spoke of his two key words that governed everything that he puts out. And those key words are what, whenever anybody goes to those two key words, the first 10 pages, he said, of Google are his name, because he's done so many podcasts, done so much publication with that. So, and it was a different way to think about it. Think about what your two or three key words are, because this is your search engine optimization that you're thinking about to start with. So these are all things that that you can think about. So let me just summarize here some things you can do to promote your book. And this is while you're thinking about your book as well as what you're writing about it. One, buy a domain name as soon as you have a title for your book or a supposed title. Anything you want to do, look around the corner. And anything you want to do now or in the future, secure the URL for it. I have probably 50 or 60. I only use maybe less than a third, but the others are secured in case I want to use them and to be sure nobody else gets them, because they're having to do with things that I'm interested in and developing or have developed. Two, start your own blog. You can use blogger.com or WordPress, even if you don't have a website. You can later incorporate it into your website. Get business cards. Put together a marketing plan. Do an internet search for writer conference or book festivals, at least in your area. Create an email signature to promote your book and message for each email you send. Write a press release. Submit it to free online press release sites. Write a brief bio that you'll use to pitch yourself to the media. Start your own email newsletter if you have an interest in doing that. Leave your business card, your bookmark, your book flyer, or postcard wherever you go. Pitch yourself to local TV and radio stations, to local media, print media. Work on your media kit and have it available on your website. Check the local paper to see if the topic of your book is in the news, and if it is, write a letter to the editor to share your expertise and promote your book. Check with local companies to see if they're interested in bulk buys of your book. Add reviews to your website. What someone else has to say is approximately 1,000 times more effective for promotion than what you say. Donate a copy of your book to a charity silent auction. If you attend, sign it for the winner. And last but not least, go to work on your next book. Sometimes the best way to sell your first book is by promoting your second. So, authors who get published still need to do a lot of marketing. Books with a special interest niche audience, which tend to have flat, steady sales, are ideal for print on demand. If you're happy with small but steady sales, if you want to get started and then generate interest from a traditional publisher, or if you want to keep an older book in print, then print on demand is a good option. On the other hand, if you want to make a business of your book, if you want to make a lot of money at it, or as much money as you can, self-publishing may be a real consideration, because you get all the revenue. The upfront fee is bigger, but in the end of the day, you get a lot more return from that. If you have a story to tell and the capacity to execute it cogently, your story deserves to find a market. Making a success of any self-published book takes time and money. A website, paid keyword marketing, marketing to other websites, podcasts, guest appearances, all the things are important for you to promote and distribute, because unless you work hard for your book, you're going to be Amazon number 2,400,023. So, basically, I just want to close with saying about the business of writing. My preface, so that I can say what I wanted to say to you in all matters regarding your tax return, be certain to consult a qualified professional. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about the business of writing. Let's talk now. Now, many of you know about these deductions already. You can deduct expenses related to the business of your writing: supplies, equipment, books, subscriptions, expenses related to research, marketing expenses, including advertising, promotion, business-related meals and travel. Why do you think you read so many novels that are set in Rome, Paris, or Monte Carlo instead of downtown Newark? The key to each of these deductions: keep adequate records, document the business purchase and purpose. If you don't already have one for related a business like coaching, consider opening a separate bank account, a separate credit card for business expenses. A separate business name would help. As you might guess, for some time now, I have rarely committed a non-deductible act. So here's a final Zen story for authors. An oak tree is brought in to creation by two simultaneous forces. One is the acorn from which it began, the seed holding all the promise and potential for the full mature tree. The other force is the future tree itself, which desires so powerfully to exist that it pulls its seed, the acorn, into being. It draws forth from the germ and guides the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, it's the oak tree that creates the acorn from which it is born. Your book deserves creation. You are already in a unique relationship with it. Listen carefully. Nurture it. Prune it. Let it grow and be born. So, a final thought, a secret, and a final challenge, the thought. Once you begin writing, you'll never look at a piece of writing the same again. Once you begin capturing your thoughts and musings, you'll feel a magnetic pull to continue. When you find your personal style for capturing thoughts, images, and feelings, whether it's writing on a yellow pad or seeing your words materialize on a computer screen, or holding a dictation device to speak to an imagined audience, it will have its own appeal. Think of the experiences that have been pivotal for you in opening new awarenesses. After my first cross-country bicycle trip with a buddy, I've never looked at inclines and terrains the same way again without immense appreciation. This was back in my college days. As a photographer, I see light and framing in a different way. After my first watercolor class, I've never seen an aspen tree when I ski every year without thinking of a particular wrist motion to get that downward branch etching on a trunk, something that God knew in her infinite wisdom since the beginning of time. Your book will take on a life of its own. I hope our time together to consider some notions about the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing has been helpful. I hope it's been perturbating as well as affirming. And I hope in a small way to inform and guide you to make a difference for yourself and for others with your present and future books. And finally, the secret. If you're ready for this. One book is like one potato chip. Okay, that's what I got. Questions, thoughts, comments? I'm interested in your take on any of this, or clarifications or questions.
But this is Naomi, Dr. Dave. I like what you said. It's like a potato chip, because after writing the first chapter, I ended up writing then my first book, and now I'm working on my second book. And I keep saying to myself, is this the last book? Is this the last book? And I kind of know no.
Oh, you can delete kind of. Yeah, thanks for that. That's helpful and I think inspirational for a number of people. Super.
Yes, thanks.
Thoughts or questions? I didn't want this aspect of the business of it to seem overwhelming, but I wanted to look at all the possibilities on the smorgasbord so that you would make an informed choice depending on what you wanted to do and the purpose and the intent you had. So I hope it's been illuminating but not overwhelming. Any questions about any one of those various things that I mentioned that you'd like to talk more about?
Dave, this is Kip.
Go ahead, Kip, and then I'll come back to whoever I didn't hear at the same time.
It's Rick.
Go ahead, my man.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to check with you about building a platform. When the publisher asks what's your platform, what is your take on what minimally you would need in order to have a chance with the publisher?
Are you talking about a traditional publisher and then a traditional most reasonable publishers will require an agent to do the pre-screening and to submit. And that's
okay.
That's something that you want to think about. And there's a book called Agents of North America, and it'll give you an idea of what the what each of them do and that sort of thing. So are you talking about traditional publishing now with a traditional publishing house?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But you had a list here of considerations to build your platform.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, what kind of a threshold does one need to pass on these before approaching a publisher or doing some of the other steps you talked about?
Well, you'll want to develop your platform, whatever you do, because even if you publish with a traditional publishing house, that's the upper reach of how you have to jump through some hurdles, but they will want you to do all of your own selling. So a minimum would be to have a really substantial email list of followers of maybe 10 to 20,000, have a whole bunch of affiliates. To give you an idea, when I released The Secret Language of Money, McGraw-Hill, what they wanted to do was to have everybody, all of my affiliates and all the people that they could muster, to send out an email announcement on the same day. And on that day, there was 1,200,000 emails that went out. Now, most of those were from, a conglomeration of affiliates, because, some people out there have, CTA has 150,000 at least on its mailing list, and there are other groups like that. So be thinking about affiliates. Be thinking about people you may want to partner with. Think about things that will develop your email list. For example, this is how I went from 7,000 or 8,000 to 15,000 on my email list. I partnered with someone who is developing a interactive ebook series of my neuromarketing series, and they offer it through affiliates, and that jumped my email list through for about 8 or 9,000 emails within a period of several months. So that's the kind of thing. And if any of you want an introduction to anything like that, please email me and I'll be happy to do that. you would need a product to offer for that, because that makes use of affiliate marketing. I sort of backed off of that because I didn't want to cheapen my endorsement by endorsing things I didn't believe in or know the people quite well, because I only I'm really persnickety about this. I only let people do my Mentor Path affiliate program who have done training with me, who I know the product. So I'm not interested in large numbers. So I'm interested in quality and the people who do that. But if you're interested in traditional publishing, you need to think about that aspect and develop that before you say engage an agent. Does that kind of answer your
question? Thank you. Thank
Dave,
you.
This is Susan, and I wanted to thank you for this, because I've enjoyed it so much.
Great.
Rhythm of it and the amount that you're offering in each section is really digestible, and
yeah.
I really appreciate
okay.
that. And I think the other thing I wanted to say, to see if I'm correct on this, is what I hear you doing is really many of us have in our minds that having a traditional publisher is sort of the gold standard. That's how you're a legitimate book author. And you've legitimized the other ways and said, that all of these can reach a goal for you. You just have to be really clear on what your goal is. Is that
exactly.
accurate? Is that what you're...
Absolutely, yes. And thank you about the rhythm. If I always thought I didn't have any rhythm, or I would have tried singing. But no, thank you for the comment. And especially if you want to do like training material, anything in that realm, then the Fulfillment House is definitely the way to go, because they can put together anything from bound books like paperbacks to 3-ring binders and do the fulfillment as something is ordered. So that's something that let me give you an example of something that I do and find ideal for something like that. There's a page that describes an internal mentoring program that I do for organizations. It's called www.mentorpath.com/core-mastery. You'll see a picture there of the training manual that I use, the resource manual for people who I do that training with, for organizations, nonprofits, and for-profits, to develop an internal mentoring program. And it's the way I use that. And they will put together however many that I ask and ship it to an organization if I do something live. Or it can be done individually. So that's an example. But yes, to answer your question, I'm glad it opened some possibilities of looking at really what's the best fit, because there's no, there's no absolute blue chip way to go. It's just whatever is going to work best for your purpose and your mission of your writing and your book. So that fit is what you want to think about. Maybe from the beginning, because it's going to shape how you'll do that, because you already have an imagined audience and what they want to do, and you're talking to them throughout. So you might as well be thinking about how you're going to deliver what you say.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I know we're out of time. If there are any questions or clarifications that I didn't answer, feel free to shoot me an email. Thank you so much for all of your responses, the emails, and the energy within the seminars. It's been a total privilege doing this for you, and I hope it's been helpful and stimulating. I'll be eager to hear what you're up to, and send me a progress note about your book. So thanks very, very much, and I hope
Thank
we
you.
Cross paths again.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks
Thanks
so
Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely.
Bye.